Going up the river to visit a friend of mine. And in the morning, before the sunrise, his baby brother wake us crying. We will set out some trout lines. We don't like the fishing, but we love the frying. I don't love you, Wanda Jackson. I don't love you at all. But in the summer, when school is over, I'll meet you behind the stall. We'll make love in the hayloft, and later in the day, perhaps we'll play some ball. Thank God for Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon, or in the summer when school is over. We wouldn't have anything to do. We all gathered in the churchyard and everybody loved to sing a happy tune. We all gathered in the churchyard and everybody loved to sing a happy tune. Shall we gather at the river where bright angels' feet have trod? Shall we stand and worship ever, drawing nigh to the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. We will gather with the saints at the river that flows from the throne of God.
Certain moment, you know, is right. You know, it was right as far
beautiful.
As delight in living and delight in worshiping life itself. And that's Jim Post, who is one of the most exciting singers that I've heard since Woody Guthrie. And Jim is here, and he's recorded a Fantasy Records, very exciting album. But more than that, Jim has been a hymn singer as a young boy most of his life, and that's a hymn that he's singing, Gather at the River, the other's his own song. And Wynn Strachey seated by here, and Jim and Wynn have so much in common, too. They came from a traditionally religious background, and yet the delight in life surpasses the very literal lives they've had. And so I know, Wynn, you agree with me about Jim Post.
Oh,
you and I have to share the feeling about him.
I love Jim Post. I just love him.
Well, Jim,
that's the song he sang, you know, about, you know, meeting by the haymow. I remember out in my father's parish in Lorain, Kansas. One of his parishioners told me that as a young man, on Monday morning, he'd have to help his mother do the wash. And he'd get to school around 10:30 or something like that. And his girlfriend would ask to be excused to go out to the privy at the same time. Every Monday morning, he would meet and make love. And it worked. It worked for 3 or 4 years.
Found the nicest places.
I'm thinking of Jim's background, Jim himself. You were a hymn singer as a young boy, Jim. This was where? West Virginia? Where was this?
Oh, Southeast Texas.
Southeast Texas. I got the wrong, my geography.
That's right, it's close.
Yeah.
in spirit.
Nowadays, it's even closer.
How did it happen?
How did what happen?
You being the hymn singer.
I was born.
And after that?
And after that, that was all it took, you know. We used to, like, sing a lot. Daddy sang bass, and Janelle, my sister, sang alto, and my brother sang terrible. And my mother sang with a full voice, like Mahalia Jackson's voice, just big, big voice. You could hear her for, out in the quiet country, you could hear her for a long ways off when she would be singing to Lester Roloff. Or, you know, Lester Roloff was her favorite. You know, come in the come in there and she'd be crying, you know.
He was a hymn singer?
No, he was a preacher, but he sang, he didn't sing good. He just sang with such feeling, you know. He just had such a richness in feeling that many a time I remember churning and wiping butter out of my eye that it splashed out of the crock and listening to Lester Roloff sing and preach hellfire and damnation.
You know Mahalia's line, Mahalia say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing, really, you and Wynn and certain singers such as yourselves, in which you fuse what they used to call the sinful and the secular, you know.
Well, you never
the
escape.
Sinful and the religious, I should say.
You think you escape, but like, I was just like, I was thinking just the other day, when I read your book, Hard Times, and I wrote that song, Music Man, I was thinking about how my fantasies have turned into reality. And when I was a child, the greatest fantasies I had was for singing for big revivals, you know. And I would stand on stumps in the forest and sing and fantasize big church revivals and me singing and leading singings. I actually went into that whole thing of doing it on the stump. And now, you know, your fantasies end up being your life, and I've just about become the person I always wanted to be, you know. It takes a long time to grow into your fantasies.
What was the song? Do you remember a song that you... We'll come back to that later. It takes a long time to grow into your fantasies. But what was a song that you remember in the early days when you were a little kid? A hymn. In the earliest hymns you heard that you sang?
Well, the thing is, I can't just say that because I just remembered all of them. You know, we're just... There's just so many. There's so many different types. Here, like, on the side. I didn't even notice. Here's Beulah Land. I reached the land of corn and wine, and its riches freely mine. Here shines undim one blissful day, for all night has passed away.
Well, you've got to sing it, you know.
Oh, Beulah Land.
Sweet Beulah Land is on the highest mountain.
Stand.
I look as I look across the sea, where mansions are prepared for me. Could you sing that, Jim?
You know, I don't know. Is that weird? This isn't the same Beulah Land.
I know a lovely song that Jim knows, that Mahalia also sang terribly well. His Eyes on the Sparrow.
Here's one, Blessed Assurance. We always say, that was a Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
I think, what is that? I always thought of that as a Methodist song, you know. What is any denomination of that?
No.
That covers all the whole Protestant thing, doesn't it?
Blessed Assurance, definitely.
Billy Graham uses it a lot.
Oh, all those guys. Here's one of my favorite. These are the type sing around the camp. Here it is, Walk in Jerusalem. I'm sure you know that, Jim. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John. Oh, John, oh, John, oh, didn't you say?
Walk in Jerusalem just like John.
You'd be there on that great day.
Walk in Jerusalem just like John.
I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Walk in Jerusalem just like John. That type of thing. I always like that.
But you know, something happened just then. You looked toward Wynn. Wynn knew it immediately. You did it, you know. It's almost a call and response in a way, too, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. You know, Alan Lomax comes out with a lot of crazy ideas, but one of the things he said that sort of hit me, that solo music, pure solo music, seems to be identified with the whole concept of private property. When you're poor, it becomes a social thing. You know, nobody sings alone from beginning to end. Everybody joins in.
Here's the sweet one. This is one of the beauties. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar.
Father, Father, waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet,
in the sweet,
by and by,
by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
In the sweet,
in the sweet,
by and by,
by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
You know what's so funny about that, Tim? The sweet by and by. Joe Hill, the great wobbly IWW songwriter, took that hymn. He made a labor song, you know, in the Sweet By. Do you know about that?
Well, Woody Guthrie did the same thing with Revive Us Again.
Revive Us Again. You know, Hallelujah, I'm a Bum.
Hallelujah, I'm a Bum.
But, you know, the Sweet By and By just sang. Wayne, could you do a portion of Joe Hill's version?
We shall eat by and by in that faraway land across the sky. Work and pray, live on hay. You'll get pie in the sky when you die. That's a lie.
Basically, aren't we talking about something that is part of our whole American life, the double strain here? Looking for another land, another world. Life is hard. Life is tough. Life is sinful. At the same time, the same people are saying life is delightful and pleasurable. And the double strain is what you captured, Jim. And
well, it's so hard to sing the blues in $100 shoes. You know what I mean?
Your $2 shoe hurts my feet.
Yeah, it's easy to sing the blues then.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we're mixing up now. We're mixing up the sinful that is really delightful as against the traditionally religious. You know, Jim has some ways of singing songs I haven't quite heard. Wynn suggested His Eyes on the Sparrow. Now, Mahalia sings it one way, Ethel Waters sings it one way, yet you sing it in a wholly different way. But before you do, Jim, a bit of your background. You were a hymn singer as a kid.
Well, what happened was in the first grade, we had a little country church, we had a few rooms, you know. And we had a contest. Excuse me. I'm not awake quite yet. We had a contest, about singing contest or something like that. And I sang If I Had a Nickel, if I remember correctly. And started singing in front of people. And then in the eighth grade, they asked me to sing in church. I remember it was a very heavy thing, because it's something I've always wanted to sing. But when I was younger, especially, even till recent years, people would ask me to sing, and I'd say, no. I always wanted people to say, please. I don't know why I had that complex, but I did, you know. But then I started singing in churches, and I don't know how many hundreds of churches I sang in. But sang in a lot of them, I can't get over the Youngs. I sang in small churches. My brother was a preacher. He ended up, now he's a salesman, but he was a preacher for a while. Went to Baylor University, where all good preachers go. Mm-hmm. And then theological seminary in Waco, Texas. And I was really into that, really dug it. But as I got older and started realizing where it wasn't, you know, that God didn't live in the church, and I did not particularly believe the Bible truly represented the Word of God. Then I started, you know, first I totally rebelled. No church, no music, nothing, you know. But then slowly as I got older and wiser, I started getting hip to the fact that how you could see Christ and how you could see God. And I have a new line, that the truth is a big thing and mighty hard to see, you know. And how much truth there is, and how there's so much truth that it is hard to see. It's just so obvious. The truth has become so painfully obvious. The karma, and it seems like the more sensitive you become, the more karma you end up realizing that you're paying. You know, the more, you know, you do something, it seems like you walk around the corner, bing, you pay the debt, just like that. Something happens to you. But when you were younger, or before you were that sensitive, because there's a lot of young people that sensitive, mind you, you didn't even realize that you were causing your own problems, and that you were rebelling against yourself. You were kicking against the pricks, as it says in the Bible. You're just doing nothing. You know, you're working against yourself. It takes you quite a while to learn that, you know. What did you ask me?
About His Eyes on the Sparrow.
Oh, His Eyes on the Sparrow. Now, I do not sing that song the way we sang it at home. I would have got a switching for sure if I did it. Mm-hmm. You know, just simple as that. Because you had to be reverent. You could get it on, but you had to get it on in their way. And so, like, his eyes on the smearle. I'm just now getting, you know, I got over my church hangover. I got over the fact that I can go back and enjoy singing church songs. And that is where it is, you know, when you're really poor and when you're really down, you find your happiness in music. And I find that most blues singers are pretty happy people.